The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we're talking second half breakouts and stashes. Let's go.
Jordan open. Chicago with the lead. Bryant to Shaq.
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. And he's going to go.
Back out to Allen. History title.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA and on Instagram at BallBoysFantasyBasketball. Today we are talking the second half, breakouts, stashes, and also some watch lists as well. And to help me out, I've got my boy Callum Mack. How are you, man?
I'm doing well as always, Mitchy. How are you going?
I'm hot, man. We're currently right in the middle of a bit of a heat wave up here in Brisbane. So we're sweating it out and not letting it stop us be enthusiastic about our fantasy basketball.
That's it. I love the positive attitude. It is damn hot, though.
Yeah, I think we've had what? I think I was checking my phone and it was telling me that it felt like 41 degrees Celsius for much of today. It's nearly 7 o'clock here and it's still like 29 degrees, 30 degrees here in Brisbane, and it's humid as well, which if anyone else is living in a humid climate, you know that that's even worse.
Yeah, when you know, you know.
Yeah.
It's beach party time.
That's it. It'd be better if we were at the beach, but unfortunately, still at work. But let's get stuck into some fantasy basketball. We're coming up to the All-Star break is not too far away, and the trade deadline is actually... maybe by the time this podcast comes out tomorrow morning, it will be a week away, 1 week counting down. We are talking about players who potentially will benefit after the All-Star break, benefit after the trade deadline, who, you know, you could call this a buy low kind of thing, or just players that we expect to be better than they have been in the first half of the season, in the second half of the season, and have a bit of a discussion point on whether or not we think that they're worth adding and having on your roster right now, or if maybe they're just more of a watch and wait and see. Okay, so let's start off probably with maybe one of the most contentious ones that we'll discuss today. Talking a bit pre-recording, you might not necessarily agree with me here, Cal, and others might not necessarily agree with me, but I want to throw out De'Aaron Fox as a potential second half, I don't know if you call it a breakout, bounce back compared to what he's been doing this so far this season. Basically, my reasoning here is I don't know if he can do much worse than what he's done the first half of the season. There's potential moves and lots of things happening in Sacramento. You know, maybe he's on a different team after the trade deadline. We know last year he went crazy after the All-Star break and put up close to 28 points a game. So he's not someone that typically takes his foot off the gas. I just think that there's nowhere to go but up for De'Aaron Fox personally. But what do you think, Cal? Do you agree, disagree? What are your thoughts?
He's definitely probably more of a bounce back candidate, if we can call that. I'm not too sure of the writings on the wall. I think they are kind of running through a few more plays through Tyrese Halliburton. He was obviously a rookie last season. So just that, I think it just is going to be a bit of a negative in terms of the play rate that he has and plays. There is the trade question mark as well surrounding him. So whether that's, I guess it probably would be a net positive for most teams if it is traded. But that's not really guaranteed. Honestly, you could flip a coin on that. With big trades like that, it's probably more likely it doesn't happen because he is a pretty big name. He's a young player. There would be a lot of people interested in him. So for that reason, I think it's most likely he'll stay with Sacramento, and he will be putting up somewhat similar stats to what he's been putting up this year, which is kind of frustrating because, look, he's down in assists from last season, down in steals, which is one of the reasons you've probably gotten down in points as well. The three-throw percentage is slightly better on attempts and then also, I guess, percentage. So that's not hurting you as much, but still overall hurting. He's dropped down so much. And when you look at his overall rank, current rank 143 for someone with preseason rank of 25 is pretty bad. I'm pretty worried.
Yeah, look, he was someone, like, I'll put my hand up. He was one of my guys at the start of the season. I was pretty hot on him and keen on him on a lot of punt, free throw, and threes builds. And look, it definitely still boosts his value. He's still putting up 21, 4, and 5 with over a steal a game. It's still respectable numbers. He obviously has a lot of deficiencies in turnovers and the percentages, and obviously doesn't give you many threes. But I don't know. I still think that he is someone that you need to have on your roster. If you are punting threes and punting free throw percentage, he does take a huge jump up in value. So if, for example, he's someone that, their manager's getting worried about Tyrese Halliburton, he's been injured for a little while now, and he's just getting sick of, and you see that 140 next to his current rank on Yahoo, you might be someone that you can grab for a bit of a discount. He's going to still give you points and assists and, a decent number of steals as well. And I think that this is his floor, really. I don't see him dropping below 20 points per game on any team. I don't see him dropping below 5 assists a game on any team. He's going to be doing this, if not better, in my opinion. So I just wanted to talk to him because I know I pumped him up in the preseason. I've obviously been disappointed. I've swung and I've missed on that one, but I still believe the talent is there, especially if we see change in scenery and he's a bit more rejuvenated on a team that's not the Sacramento Kings and has the longest non-playoff streak in NBA. So let's go on to the next guy. We've got a bit of a theme for these next four players. They're all going to be rookies. Okay, so a lot of the time we do see that second half. There was this like narrative of the rookie wall, which I don't know where that started. It's pretty bullshit in my opinion. Especially in fantasy, we often see ask for the All-Star game the rookies' value and their abilities to put fantasy stats up on the board increase. So the first one we're talking here is Cade Cunningham. What are your thoughts on Cade and what he can do in the second half of the year, Cal?
I'm pretty excited for him, actually. I think this is a good candidate for sure. He should improve. He somewhat had a pretty slow start. He even started, I think it was a bit of an injury to start the season. Yeah, so he was missing a few games.
Calf or something.
Yeah, something like that. And they obviously were playing it safe with him, but he's been healthy for a while now. He had that triple-double against Cleveland recently, a few days ago.
Yep.
He's had definitely some bright sparks. There's a 34-point game in there recently. I'm pretty excited for him. I think he definitely should turn on. I think his field goal should probably come up when it starts to click a bit better. I'd also expect his assist numbers to also come up. Him and the Killian Hayes, I guess, experiment, I'm not too sure how that's going to end, but it's very much, he has the keys and the play will go through him more often than not. So I think it's a good selection.
I think what the most common theme that I see with a lot of these rookies, and especially the rookie guards, is as the season goes along and after that All-Star break, when they have a chance to stop, pause, reflect on the season, they get to the Rising Stars Challenge, they're feeling a bit more refreshed and going down the stretch of the season, two things you'll usually see. One, their field goal percentage will take a big leap, and two, their turnovers will usually come down. Now, for Cade, those are the biggest things that is diminishing his value. He is still the 89th ranked player, and he's averaging less than 40% field goal, and he's averaging 3.5 turnovers. Like, that's pretty insane if you think about it. He's, 50 spots ahead of De'Aaron Fox, and he's still got those deficiencies. So he is someone who's got a very fantasy-friendly game. 2 threes, 16 points, 5.5 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1.5 steals, essentially nearly a block, good free throw percentage. So if that field goal even just comes up to like 43%, the turnovers come down to like three or just less than three per game, you could see him potentially after the All-Star break almost be a top 50 player, which I think is realistic to expect as he's shown flashes, and I think it'll become more consistent and we'll start to see those better games more regularly and those bad games less regularly. So I think if you could get him for someone, you know, maybe around that 80 to 90 spot, I would be pulling the trigger because I expect him to improve the second half of the season.
Yeah, and look, the writing's actually on the wall. The field goal from 39% has jumped up already to 42% over the past month.
Yep.
And the turnovers have dropped from 3.5 down to 3.
It's happening.
In the past month. So it's happening. Yeah, he's turning it on, and you'd like to see that obviously progress in the same direction.
Yeah. Obviously, if you've got a punt field goal percentage team, then you've not cared about that, and you don't care about that for the whole season. But, you know, I don't think necessarily we were drafting Cade expecting to be a punt field goal percentage team. I think we expect his field goal to be better than what it is. So there probably are a lot of managers out there that aren't necessarily or weren't trying to punt that category, and he's probably putting a huge drain on their field goal at the moment. So, see if you can snag him up a bit cheaper than probably what he's going to finish the season. Let's move on to the next rookie. Again, a lot of themes and anything here. We're talking Jalen Suggs, who has already started to pick things up since coming back from his injury. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from him the last couple of weeks and what he's been doing. Obviously, on the season, the rank looks terrible, 267th for the season. He started the year pretty rubbish, to be honest, pretty poor in both percentages and turnovers. The scoring wasn't really there at the start of the season, but he's picking it up. Lots of assists and steals recently as well, and he's actually a decent shot blocker as a guard as well. So I think, again, familiar story, field goal percentage, turnovers, and as a result of that, the threes and points also will increase. What are your thoughts on Suggs? Are you as hot on him as Cade or maybe not so much?
I'm not as hot on Cade in terms of his improvement and I guess the overall fantasy value.
Sorry, just but to clarify.
I do see improvement there though.
You're not as hot on Suggs compared to Cade or you'd rather...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Cade's got a better second half of the season than him in terms of from where he started to where he'll end up.
Yeah.
Suggs, there's still probably a little bit of a learning curve, but you do see the writing on the wall again. I mean, 36% for the season is pretty horrid. That's kind of why he is where he is at, you know, around the 270s kind of mark. But in the past month, he shot about 42%. That's a huge jump. Probably a little bit limited games. I think he missed a few there. But outside of that, I'd expect pretty much everything to go up. I think like points, assists, and as you said, the field goal and the turnovers should be better. So similar story to Kay Cunningham. We did kind of debate Suggs on and off as well as if we should drop him, if you shouldn't. I'd hold on to him. I think he could have a pretty good end of season run.
Yeah, he was dropped in our 10-team league and I scooped him up maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks ago and I'm pretty happy with that move so far. Pretty happy to hold him for a little while and see how he goes. The only really concern for me is the free throw percentage, but even that started to improve the last couple of weeks. So in the last 2 weeks, he's averaging 79% on some decent attempts as well. On the season, that was a bit closer down to 76%. So even just that 3% jump is huge for his value. Last 2 weeks, he's 149th per game, and I can definitely see that climbing closer to top 100 territory post All-Star break. That would be sort of how I would be evaluating him. Maybe 120 to be on the safer side, but definitely if he's on your waiver, I would not hesitate to grab him, especially if you need those assist steals and maybe some blocks from a guard position as well, because he's definitely going to give you that. The percentages might not salvage as much as Cade's, but I definitely still think they're going to improve from 36%. And so that's something that if you're not worrying about, like I'm punting field goal percentage, that's why I had no hesitation grabbing him once I saw a few good things from him, then you can scoop him. Otherwise, maybe just see how you go, see if you can handle that hit to your field goal percentage. Let's go on to the next guy. This guy, I want to talk to you about. I know you like him. I'm less excited. I've never been fully there. I don't know. Jalen Green. Talk to me about Jalen Green and what you think about him and his second half of the season. I know he's on your dynasty roster as well, so I know you've got some vested interest in this man. What are your expectations for Jalen Green in the second half of the year?
Look, I am holding strong. I still think he can put up a lot of points, and that's kind of why I've kept him. He's even gone a bit of a cool. He's actually really kind of cooled off. He's had a pretty bad month over the past 30 days.
I think
days.
That's an understatement.
I'm looking at it now. Over the past 30 days, he's the 389th player in terms of rank, and he's putting up 30 minutes a game. So that's never a good sign, is it?
No.
32% from the field. pretty shocking. He doesn't give you assists. He hasn't really been giving you much counting stats in the steals and blocks either.
Yeah.
The only real beneficial thing is the free throws. So the question is, can he turn it on? Can he step around the corner? I think he can. I've had him the whole season, but he has had some outbursts where he'll, you know, go in the 20s, can have a 30-point game. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it will happen. But if not, if it gets too close to the playoffs, he will be cut from my team. I'm just going to hold him until the playoffs, and hopefully he'll show some signs. Because I'm in the playoff run. I would probably say if you aren't in the playoffs, you may have dropped him already, but maybe it is time to pick up some other guys in the waiver wire, because it's been pretty consistent, unfortunately, with what he's been doing. It's very sporadic. He had the odd good game, but the net positive isn't quite there.
Yeah, I think the thing with me that makes me the least excited about Jalen Suggs compared to every one of these other rookies that we're going to talk about, and we've got one more to discuss. Jalen Green. Too many bloody Jalens in this draft. I just think that there's not enough other stuff. You know what I mean? Like, Cade has the rebounds, assists, steals. You know, Suggs has got the assists, steals, and blocks. Jalen doesn't have that. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't give you high volume assists. He's, you know, only at half a steal a game on the season, 0.1 blocks, so literally zero there. The free throw percentage is solid, but you know, 3.6 attempts is not enough to really move the needle. So if he's not scoring, and if he's not scoring somewhat efficiently, he doesn't do a lot for you. So it's much more of a gamble to add him and just hope that he figures it out. So for me, I'm not ready. Like, if I was in your position, I would have dropped him already. Even though I know you're in the playoff run, I think that you might have missed other value that have come along. Personally, I'm not as confident as Jalen Green, you know, quote unquote breaking out. He probably will improve like most rookies do, and I think he's going to get better, but I don't know if it's ever going to get to the point where this season we're adding him for redraft leagues in 10 and 12 team leagues. Personally, do you think it's going to, like, put aside your optimism because he's on your roster, but do you actually think that it's going to be like something that you're going to have on your roster come playoff time?
At this point, I think signs point to no.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think it will be cut. I did put a lot of stock in him, and I guess I'm somewhat being a bit stubborn now, and I'm holding onto him until the playoffs. But at this point,
fantasy managers being stubborn? What? No, that doesn't happen.
Look, I probably would have dropped him if I had some foresight into what he was going to put up. I would have probably dropped him a couple of months ago. But look, here we are. I put some stock in there. I'll ride him out till the playoffs begin. If he's not performing, he's gone.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. And just the last rookie that we're going to talk about, Josh Giddey. Okay. So here's another one. Again, the thing with all these rookies, and especially the rookie guards, is the percentages are rough, man. And they always are, especially that first half of the season. You got the double hit with Giddey with the free throw percentage as well. The turnovers are poor. The field goal percentage, surprisingly, is actually the best out of all of these guys we've talked about at 40%. So, but he's also taking fewer attempts than a lot of these guys. The good thing about Giddey, you get the rebounds, you get the assists, you're getting a steal per game. So those are all looking solid. We're going to talk about shutdowns in another podcast soon, but you've got someone like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who's currently out injured, at least through to the All-Star break, maybe even longer. So he's going to be given the keys, obviously, down the stretch. And I can definitely see, with those percentages and turnovers improving, his ranking can improve higher than the 173rd player that he is at the moment. And I think he definitely has to be rostered in every league. And he is. He's 82% owned in on Yahoo at the moment. What are your thoughts on Giddey in the second half?
I actually kind of like what he's put together so far. So there's something to be excited for. I would say, even though his current rank for the whole season is 173, he fits a lot of builds. He can fit a punt field goal. He can fit a punt three-pointer. He can fit like the steals or the blocks as well. So there's things there. The three percentage is probably not a huge concern, just because he's only shooting 1.3 a game. Yeah. So the attempts, when you take that into consideration, it's not that
good
bad.
Point.
Like, you can really, and any team could really hold on to that, and it's very not going to affect you too badly. And when you have the you know, kind of average points, but the 7.6 rebounds and the 6.1 assists is pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm pretty happy with that. You get to steal a game as well. So based on those couple of categories, there's no way he should be on the waiver wire. So I kind of classify him for particular build to be like a, probably a top 120 guy.
Yeah.
And with the usage with Shea going out, it could go one of two ways. Maybe his field goal will drop down a bit more. Shea obviously draws a lot of attention. I'm not too sure because I don't think Giddey is much of a scorer.
I kind of like
his fit with Shea. I'm not too sure if it will actually help him.
I think I'm looking more at the assists. I think the assists have a bit of room to go up with Shea out. If he's playing a bit more on ball, and obviously they take a bit of a sharing in terms of ball handling duties. So I'm not necessarily like excited for his scoring to go up. Maybe he gets 12 or 13 points a game, but it's those six assists potentially going to eight over the stretch, and then the rebounds getting to eight. So if he averages 12, 8, and 8 with a steal and a three down the stretch, I think that's where I kind of see him on the second half. And to me, especially if you're punting, well, without any punting, that's probably around like 100, 110. But if you're punting like the free throws and maybe the points, then he's easily a top 75 player in that kind of punt build.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to probably say more. He could be a top 100 guy. Yeah. I think the ceiling would be around that 75 mark if it really does click for him.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I do like him. I think, who would you rather have on your roster? I know it's tough with punt builds, but do you think a higher ceiling for Suggs or Giddey for the second half?
I'm probably going to go with Suggs. I kind of like what he brings a little bit more consistency as well. Suggs can hurt you on those off weeks with the field goal.
Yeah, geez, I know I asked the question. I'm pretty close. I might take Giddey just, but it's close. I'm flipping a coin there. I think they're pretty close. let's move on. So the next little section we're going to do here, we're going to talk stashes. You could probably have these players on your roster and just wait and see. We're only a week away from the trade deadline, and after the trade deadline, you'll likely know whether or not you are going to hold on to these guys or not. Let's start over in Indiana. They're pretty obvious ones, but we want to talk about them anyway. Isaiah Jackson and Goga Badadze. Now, Isaiah Jackson is the hot name at the moment. He recently got his first career start, put up a huge game. I think he had 22, 10, and two or three blocks or something like that. He's someone who I really like from like a per-minute production kind of point of view, and he's now getting the minutes with Sabonis in protocols. We've got Goga, who's injured his foot. Miles Turner, I don't know what's going on with him, but he might not be back on this team. Even someone like O'Shea Bichette is out, so there's literally no one else playing for this team right now, but there might be a lot of moves at this trade deadline with Indiana. They're one of the big team names floating out there. So what are your thoughts on Isaiah Jackson, and what are your expectations for him for the rest of the season post-trade deadline?
I'm probably more high on him than I am for Goga Badadze.
Me too.
Because I guess they're both similar in the fact that they'll give you the blocks, I think is probably the main asset. He's also had really good field goal. When you look at what he's put up the past month or so, he's actually ranked about 150th, and that's just on 1.4 blocks a game and about 56% shooting from the field, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Obviously, the low turnovers is probably helping. He is actually taking a surprising amount of free throws and not shooting too highly, so that's probably something to consider as well. Yeah. But outside, I'm probably more high on him than Badadze. I think, as you mentioned, if there's a trade coming, he will get a lot of minutes, and he could be one of those candidates because even on this, you know, about 150th rank, it's only in 14 minutes a game.
So the
writing's on the wall for a bit of a... If there's minutes there, the thing is, in Indiana, they have so many pieces. I don't know if they can go for like an actual rebuild. But if they do, this guy I'd definitely be looking at to pick up.
Yeah, I think, it is. It's a weird spot because... So they've had a disappointing season. They've had the similar roster for a little while, and there's a lot of talks about them rebuilding. But like, are they rebuilding by trading Miles Turner and that's it, or are they rebuilding by trading Miles Turner, Caris LeVert, Sabonis, like, and just clearing shop? Because if they're clearing shop, then Isaiah Jackson is going to be an absolute must roster player, potential top 75 upside for the rest of the season. But if they're just getting rid of Miles Turner and keeping Sabonis, then he's probably not going to be rosterable. You know, he's probably going to be stuck behind a Sabonis. He's not going to have enough value. What I will say, though, is when this podcast comes out, there's going to be a week left to the trade deadline. Goga Badadze is out. Sabonis is in health protocols. Just add him. He has to be added right now, and you've got to wait and see what happens, because in that time, he's going to have value with all those guys, other guys out, so you're going to enjoy the value while it's there, and then you're going to be able to see what happens, and then you can make a more informed decision, because all those trades will have happened. So I think I am going to label him a must-roster player because of the circumstances that he's in and how close we are to the trade deadline. I think he is probably the highest upside guy here that we're going to talk about. And I think he's a great NBA talent. He's a modern NBA. I think I'd agree with you. I prefer his upside over Goga Badadze, because Goga's just a bit more one-dimensional. And I think that if they are going to push more to this rebuild, they do want to see Isaiah Jackson play a bit more minutes, because he's probably got higher upside in terms of real NBA play, if that makes sense. So it looks like we're both team Ajax over Goga there. Let's go over to Houston, where our favorite guy over there, Alperen Şengün, and I'm going to also talk about KJ Martin Jr. as a stash. Talk to me, B. I'll throw it over to you. Which one do you want to talk about first, and what are your thoughts about these guys?
Look, I'll go to Şengün first. Because
of course you will.
He's been on my roster the whole year. I mean, he has been a stash for me.
You're a patient man, Cal. I'll tell you that.
Look, he's pretty much the same as Jalen Green. Yeah. I don't know why he's not getting the minutes. It sucks. For the season, he's about 18 minutes a game. And even if you look in the past month, it's 15 minutes a game. So it's just kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know what's going on. He's just not really getting the minutes. Yeah. I know he can be a beast if he does. There hasn't really been any true injuries to get him into the like starting lineup. Yep. He's always coming off the bench. He does have bright sparks. A few days ago, when he did get minutes, it was 14 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks.
Yeah, in 24
that's
minutes,
pretty solid. But
didn't even shoot the ball well.
Didn't shoot the ball well. That's true.
Yeah, so he's got more upside than what he showed.
Yeah, but I'm starting to give up on Şengün. Him versus KJ Martin. He's probably got a higher upside. So in terms of stashing, I would be higher on him. I think KJ, he kind of came out last year. The odd hot game here and there to get some minutes. But
he had a pretty solid end to the year last year, if I remember correctly, with a few guys out down the stretch. I was expecting him to play.
They were going full tank mode, which obviously they're probably going to do again.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
This season.
They're definitely one of the teams in line to go full tank mode, and I think that they're trying to be very active in the trade deadline market. Look, I'll say this about Şengün. We both love his statistical translation coming out of Turkey. He is someone that is, we always talk about the per minute producers. When he gets minutes, he puts up stats. The one thing I will say about Şengün, I did highlight this when we were talking about the draft process, is I don't know about his style of play in terms of he's a back to the basket big, he's like a post player, but he's 6'9", he's not super athletic, and I'm the more I watch him, the more I'm concerned about that style of play being successful in the NBA and for teams wanting to lean into that kind of style of play. That's not to say that if he gets minutes, he's still going to put up fantasy stats. And so that's not the question. It's just whether or not the coaching staff are going to want to give him minutes over a Christian Wood. I think it would require, it definitely would require at this stage, a Christian Wood trade or a Christian Wood shutdown for Şengün to get the value. If Christian Wood's healthy, I don't think that they're putting Şengün out there for 25 plus minutes a game. I just don't see it happening this year unless Wood is out of the equation. Would you agree, or is there a, do you think there's a way that they can play together down the stretch? What are your thoughts there?
No, not really. I'm probably banking on a Wood trade, and there has been some hype around that. He definitely is on the market. If the trade happens, he definitely, I'd snatch him up straight away.
Yeah.
But for now, I think it's unlikely. Sadly, yeah. And he is just getting attacked on the defensive end, which is impacting his minutes. It's just like in that switch rotation, he'll start guarding a guard on the perimeter, and they just burn him every time. And that, unfortunately, that's probably his downfall.
Yeah. He's got excellent basketball smarts. He's a terrific passer. He pulls out these great moves every so often. But the more I watch him, because I drafted him in our dynasty league. Very excited. I got him at pick 7, so I was pretty happy with that. So not a huge bust if it doesn't work out, but Yeah, just a little bit skeptical and a little bit down on Sengun compared to how I was preseason. And the more I've watched him, the more I'm sort of questioning that. Let's talk KJ Martin Jr. because I think he is someone who, if we see a move with like an Eric Gordon or even like a Jayshon Tate or someone like that, KJ Martin is very young still, and he's another good permanent producer. Probably not the most exciting player, but he's going to give you very solid percentages, solid rebounds for a small forward player, maybe a steal, a block per game, or close to low turnovers. He'll be a very fantasy rankings friendly player, and I think that he is someone that could be, and I would go to say more likely to get more minutes down the stretch. So I feel like he's a safer bet to improve, but not the upside that Sengun has, would be my evaluation of him.
Yeah, I'd 100% agree. The counting stuff is there, and the minutes seem to be in his favor. So
let's move on to our last segment of the podcast today, and that is talking about some guys who have the high upside, but we're less confident in them getting the minutes. And maybe they're not like a stash ad, but maybe more of a watch list kind of guy. Or if you've got garbage on the end of the bench, then sure, you can see how you go and hold them for a week and see how the trade deadline shapes out. But I want to highlight a few big guys first. We're talking Jackson Hayes, Isaiah Hartenstein, and Daniel Gafford. I'll start with Daniel Gafford first because just today, Thomas Bryant went down and injured his ankle. You know, Gafford was a player that had value at the start of the season because he was playing obviously without Bryant. He was starting, and then all of a sudden Bryant comes back and Gafford goes to the bench and basically doesn't play. So does this injury to Thomas Bryant open up the minutes back for Gafford? How long is Thomas Bryant out? Are they going to continue doing this three center rotation or what the go is? I don't know, but I think that Gafford is a good, again, permanent producer. And with the injury to Bryant, I would like to just see how that all plays out. What are your thoughts on Gafford and any of the other bigs that I mentioned before?
Firstly, with Gafford, yeah, it's been really disappointing. I didn't think he'd fall down as he has with the return of Bryant. So
it's so dumb.
The injury is a question mark.
Yeah. He's their best player. He's their best center on that roster, in my opinion. I think he's better than Harrell and Bryant, personally.
Yeah, like definitely on the defensive end, I think he would be. He's got a bit of a rim runner as well, so great field goal. But it's pretty crazy. In the past 14 days, which obviously Thomas Bryant, Montrezl Harrell are getting minutes.
Yep.
Daniel Gafford's averaged 10 minutes a game.
Yeah, he's recently been pushed out of the rotation, I'm pretty sure.
Exactly. So it's pretty, I can imagine a lot of people have been dropping him. He's still 53% rusted. It's probably a bit much. But I guess with the news of Thomas Bryant, I'm not too sure how serious it is, but there is some hope there for fantasy owners.
Yeah, I think so. Like, and even in 20 minutes a game, he's the 108th ranked player, and that's on the back of that big field goal percentage, the huge block numbers, and solid rebounds as well. Obviously, if you're punting threes, he gets another big boost in value. So it's interesting to see how it's all going to shape out, and maybe one of them is traded at the trade deadline and it opens minutes back up for him. So he is someone that if you've got trash in your waiver wire, you need some blocks, I wouldn't mind taking a punt on Gafford and just seeing how it shakes out, and then if it doesn't, you just drop him again. I want to talk about Jackson Hayes, who started the last couple of games next to Jonas Valanciunas. He's a guy that I've sort of had my eye on for a little while, but after the Valanciunas trade, I sort of thought that maybe New Orleans weren't as keen on him as I thought they were. I thought he might have been able to take over Steven Adams' role when he was on the roster, but of course that trade made that not the case. But now he's starting next to him. What do you think about Jackson Hayes and any potential value for the second half of the year?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth highlighting because, as you said, he has been starting. The minutes are there. Over the past 14 days, it's gone up to about 20 minutes a game. Great percentages, actually. Yeah. 70% from the field. I guess with the whole Zion thing, no one really knows what's happening there. So
I honestly don't think he's playing.
Me neither. And then even Brendan Ingram's kind of on the market to some degree. There could be a trade there. So I kind of like the potential. I wouldn't go screaming and picking him up now, but
yeah,
you could potentially stash him.
Yeah.
The writing is kind of on the wall. If they go full tank mode, I'd be picking them up.
Yeah, see, they're also at that awkward period where they're like, they if they wanted to, they could try and maybe push for that 10th spot, get into the play-in, or they could go the other way. So it really depends on where they're sitting at and what they try to do. The other thing is that I think in the last two games we started, Josh Hart hasn't been playing. So sometimes maybe he'll start at the three, and that might push Brandon Ingram to the four, or whatever the case may be. And so there's a few things that doesn't get me overly hopeful. Again, he's not the worst ad, but I'm probably less convinced that his minutes are going to stick than some of these other guys that we've mentioned before. And the last guy here, Isaiah Hartenstein, another three-center rotation over in Clipperland. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they're making any noise, especially with Paul George potentially out for the season. So I don't know if they're going to start to tank. Right now, they're in the play-in tournament. But Serge Ibaka, Ivica Zubac, I don't know. They haven't been as good to me as Hartenstein. So there's been moments where Hartenstein's looked like he's going to crack in and become the starter. There's been moments where he's been out of the rotation. So what are your thoughts on him maybe cracking the rotation and potentially pushing for the starting spot on the second half?
I actually like Hartenstein probably over the other couple in Gafford and Hayes, just because I think this Clippers team probably will go for a full tank. I think the writing's on the wall there. The two stars are gone. I think he will get minutes. He started to get a few more minutes in the past couple of weeks. And not only that, but he's also somewhat had a pretty consistent role the whole season.
Yeah.
The one question mark, I guess, is Ibaka. And Serge has had trade rumors going around him as well, so he could potentially be off the team.
Buyout rumors, I think,
as
well. Or
they could just rest him as well. Yeah, buyout, or even the shutdown as well. Like, he's an old guy. Maybe they just maybe keep him and try and get him healthy for the next season. So for all of those reasons, I think this guy probably does have a fair bit of upside. So Hartenstein, I would add to my watch list.
Yeah, okay, cool. I think we're in agreement. I do, of these last three big guys, I think that his upside is probably the highest, and I think that there is probably a good pathway for that happening with all the reasons that you outlined there. So the two Isaiahs, Isaiah Jackson and Isaiah Hartenstein, are probably our two big stashes or watches leading into the trade deadline and into the second half of the season. All right, we're going to leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked this content, liked the video, the podcast, make sure you go over to YouTube, hit that thumbs up button, get the likes going, and drop a comment down below if you have any questions about your fantasy team, any questions about trade rumors and the trade deadline coming up and the NBA All-Star game. Make sure you give us a rating over on Apple Podcasts, and make sure that you are subscribed and hit that notification bell so you can get notified when our videos drop. Until next time, catch you later. Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.